Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We'll have your comprehensive debate preview in just a moment. But first of all, a huge thank you to our listeners. Newsmax has come out with their top 50 conservative podcasts. And thanks to you, Jim, we are at number 25 for 2015. So happy to see that news this morning.
We're in the top 25. Very good to be in it. There are a lot of other podcasts that got mentioned. It's early in the season. I think we can build upon this. We just need to take on some better competition, boost up that strength of schedule.
That's true. We're going to be hitting the meat of the conference schedule here in a couple of weeks. So once we start those games, hopefully we'll be able to keep winning and move up the rankings, and we'll be in the four-team playoff come January. That'd be great. All right, on to the good martini today. And we obviously have our second presidential debate coming up tonight at the Reagan Library. CNN will be hosting the debate. We've got 11 people on stage for the main debate. It's the same 10 who were on stage last time, plus Carly Fiorina. CNN has promised to let the candidates fight it out. They insist it'll be over policy. We'll see if that's actually the case. But Jim, as we go into this debate, obviously there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on this debate, as there were for the one in Cleveland. And it's a good test, even if it does get a little like a circus atmosphere at times, because whoever's going to be the next president has to be able to articulate a vision, has to be able to do so succinctly due to the attention span that most people have. And a debate is a good chance to do that, especially when you get a lot of other people sniping at you.
If you're like me, you're a little tired of debating Carly Fiorina's face.
Right.
You're a little tired of debating whether Ben Carson was an okay doctor. Somebody observed recently that the coverage of the presidential race on the Republican side so far has been, here's what Donald Trump said today. Here's people reacting to what Donald Trump said today. And to any one of the other candidates, what do you think of what Donald Trump said today?
Right.
And you kind of can see this phenomenon there. So it'll be nice to have an hour or 2 hours tonight in which they actually talk about issues. I'm sure some of it will be, what do you think of what Donald Trump said here, Donald Trump said there? But I think there's a lot going on, whether it's the financial front, whether it's the international front, whether it's the social policy front. We're in an era of immense change, and there are big issues to be discussed. This is what these presidential campaigns are made for, right? Just to see these go, let's go out and kick the tires and see what these guys have to say. I think it's very easy to forget some of these other candidates as this is going on. So you know what? I look forward tonight to the pre-debate, Bobby Jindal and a bunch of guys who don't really need to be there now that Rick Perry is out, and of course the main debate in prime time on CNN.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you need to get jazzed up for the pregame, for the big debate itself, you got to check out the Morning Jolt today. Jim amps it up about as much as it can be amped up with insightful commentary from the likes of Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, Dick Vitale, Colin Cowherd, and John Gruden were probably my two favorites in there. You have to look at it to know what I'm talking about. But do check out the Morning Jolt today. That will definitely make your day. All right, on to the bad martini, and it still relates to the debate because obviously we've got a pretty fierce discussion going on right now amongst the Republican and conservative base about the best choice for the nominee. Those who love Trump absolutely love Trump and want no one else. Some people think Trump is providing a valuable service but probably ought not to be the nominee, and those people have different ideas in mind. Others think he's a scourge to humanity and the party ought to go in a different direction. So the question is, in such a crowded field and an intense field when winning is so critical in 2016, can the party come back together? Obviously, Jim, this debate's not going to decide everything. But the more this goes on, the more intense it seems to get. History suggests that a lot of times the divide can be healed. Other times it hasn't, and it's not worked out well for that particular party. It's hard to say at this point. It all depends, I guess, on who wins and how they win. But it is a concern at this point.
One of the things we were discussing, this bad martini, is that Glenn Beck said on his program yesterday, if you voted against Obama and you're for Trump, you're racist, which is kind of reductive. And I say this as a guy who's been on the blaze and thinks very highly of Glenn Beck and similarly critical of Trump. I don't know if it does good to start labeling all of his supporters knee-jerk racists, although I think it's safe to say we've seen some ugly rhetoric coming from some of those quarters. You kind of wonder. One of the interesting things I think is the true legacy of the Trump phenomenon, whether this ends with him as president or as the Republican nominee or whether he ends up being defeated at some point in there. Donald Trump has demonstrated that there is an enormous appetite. You know, that he's got that 30-40% in some of these polls.
that is effectively populist. And populism is not the same as conservatism. Those, you know, two different ways of looking at the world. So I think there's kind of been this recoiling amongst people who see themselves as conservatives at people embracing out-and-out populist viewpoints expressed by Trump, whether it's going after guys who have hedge funds or this perception that the CEO fat cats are making too much money. When you see that a chunk of the base doesn't actually think what conservatives thought they think, you're going to have kind of a reckoning. And I think that my fear is that this is the decline of conservatism, that we're not actually a conservative country anymore. It's not a center-right country anymore. And that populism has effectively replaced conservatism. There isn't really a desire for small government, traditional definition of conservatism anymore. We will see. We will see how this shakes out. But I think that there's a big philosophical divide on the right that is not going to be easily or quickly patched together again.
Jim, on to the bad martini now. And one of the things that we have talked about so often is just the wonderful civil political discourse that takes place on social media. There's never any name calling. There's never any pejoratives thrown out there or things like that. It's just very calm and civil. No, of course it's not. It's horrible a lot of the times on social media. And it might be getting worse soon. Facebook may finally give users the ability to dislike things. During a question and answer session streamed live on Facebook on Tuesday, Mark Zuckerberg said the company was testing alternatives to the like button. Quote, "People have asked about the dislike button for many years," he said. "Today is the day that I actually get to say we are working on it. It's not clear that it would actually be called a dislike button. The tool would not be for expressing disdain for posts," he said. "Instead, it would be for showing empathy for posts that seem inappropriate to like, such as news of natural disasters or loved ones dying." He says even further that he doesn't think that a dislike button for just disliking posts would be socially valuable. Hard to see how you couldn't use it that way, though, Jim. We don't know exactly how this is going to look. But if there is an alternative on there to express something that's not liking it, you can see how things could get heated pretty fast.
I'm going to be contrarian in this one, Greg. I can see two good things that come out of this.
Okay.
One is that if people can just press the unlike button, they may not actually write the angry all caps misspelled screed in your comment section. So in a way, just like, yeah, we get it. You don't like it. You know, you disagree. I'm a moron, et cetera. You know, that maybe that'll do some good. Maybe it'll save some time. All right. Maybe it'll kind of, you know, tone down. Out of sheer impatience, people will skip past the endless, you know, trolling and flame wars and stuff like that. Maybe I'm being too optimistic here, but there's that possibility. The other one is, Greg, have you ever found yourself, you're going through Facebook and then somebody has some sort of, you know, really heartfelt commentary and dedication to their grandmother that passed away. And, you know, "Nana, we're going to miss you. You always brightened our days." And you find yourself hitting like. Well, wait a second. I'm not liking that she's dead. You want to say, "Oh, I like that what you said about this beloved person who passed away." And there's always that awkwardness button. Or somebody says, "Ugh, you know, I just had this terrible day. I've, you know, my car is broken and, you know, the... going to have my foot amputated or something like that." And then you hit like. "No, wait, I don't like that this happened to you. I want to express sympathy." So I actually don't mind them adding these buttons. And let's face it, Greg, how much nastier can Facebook debates get? Until they come up with the Facebook equivalent of a flaming bag of poo, I don't really be able to put that will have people that much angry at each other than they are. So like, dislike, and thermonuclear explosion should be the third option you have there on the Facebook menu.
I think we could have a pretty funny brainstorming session about all the different buttons that could potentially be added to Facebook posts. I will mention a post that I saw yesterday, though, that had a pie chart with three different colors on the side for what the segments of the pie represented. One, I believe, was blue for "I changed your mind." Green was "you changed my mind." Red is "nobody's mind changed and everybody's angry." And the whole thing was red.
Yeah, it seemed pretty accurate. But remember, folks, you can like this program on Facebook. Actually, you can't. We might be the only podcast that has really no Facebook presence. You know why that's good, Greg?
Why is that?
It means nobody can say they dislike us.
Jim, enjoy the debate tonight. I'm sure you'll have your popcorn. I'd be careful again, like we said last time, about any drinking games, depending on what the words are. And we'll have a full recap tomorrow. So it's going to be huge.
Huge. Looking forward to it, Greg. It'll be a huge recap tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And tune in again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.